Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
There's a place here at the table. Your coats go by the door. You can kick your shoes off in that pile on the floor. I hope you wore elastic, cause your waistband's gonna get tight. Take time.
Hi guys, it's Ari
and Sophie, and you are listening to the dulcet sounds of Having a Night, the podcast dedicated to reviving the lost art of the dinner party. Say it five times fast.
I don't think I can right now. It would break my voice.
So hey, what'd you eat this week?
I wanted to talk a little bit about a less than stellar experience I had at a restaurant that will not
be
named. Have you had an outdoor dining experience that was just really missed the mark? I think it's so great, all you know, what everyone is doing and the enthusiasm and keeping all of these businesses alive, but sometimes it just doesn't all add up. Like something gets lost and the food somehow just like passes the literal threshold of the restaurant door into the outdoors and it just like loses its magic.
Oh, yeah. Well, I also think a lot of that has to do, and I can't wait to hear about your terrible experience spilling the tea, but I feel like a lot of that also has to do with how much effort the restaurant put into making the outdoor have some kind of ambiance. Like, it doesn't have to be extreme. Like, it doesn't have to be like a little chalet.
So this is a place that has a lot of ambiance in its normal restaurant.
Yes.
But outside, none.
Was this in New York City?
Yes. I'm not going to tell you because I love this place and I don't want to bash it. It's just,
fine.
Anyway, so there was none and it was really brightly lit because of other surrounding buildings.
If we know one thing about Ari, it's that she likes to eat in the pitch black.
That's right. One day I'm going to own one of those restaurants where everyone's blindfolded. there was a light structure on an adjacent building that was like, you know, running an ad constantly. So it was like super neon and bright. And just the food was not where it usually was. And I was just like, oh man, this sucks because I love this restaurant. But
yeah. Was it a temperature thing where the food came out and you felt like things were supposed to be hot or suddenly cold?
It was a temperature thing. It was like there was a salad that Sophie was so salty. I was like, What? Like, did someone think this was not salt and just was it salted twice?
Right.
Just like amateur. And then I wanted to say something, but then I was like, that's going to be rude. But I don't mean it to be rude. I mean it to be like, hey, guys, just FYI, like you're over salting.
Well, that's a good thing for us to talk about. Maybe we can, the next time we have someone on who runs or works at a restaurant, we can talk about this because like, what is the line between being helpful and being an asshole? Because sometimes, it is like, hey, so this is inedible and it's not, I'm not saying you should take it off my bill. I'm saying like, FYI, you might not want to cook this dish that way anymore. Yeah.
Or like there's a, someone is finishing this. Maybe it's a food runner. They'll put in extra seasoning and they are, they've gone rogue.
Gone rogue. Just standing at the pass with a thing of salt going.
They've completely lost their minds. anyway, so That is all to say, I'm like more excited now than ever for things to start opening back up, because the outdoor dining thing, it's great. And I'm glad that it's going to change kind of the food landscape of the city and cities all around. But it's like, okay, well, there's something to be said though for just eating in the way that the restaurant intended, in the atmosphere the restaurant intended you to eat it.
Yeah. So you are like, yes, I had one bad meal, but I'll definitely go back to this restaurant.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay. I sometimes feel like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
You would be a horrible food critic.
No. I just think like, if I've gone to a restaurant three times and it's been disappointing all three times, even though it's gotten a lot of hype, it's three not times. A good restaurant for me. You know? Yeah.
But you said you went once. You said, fool me once. No. Three times.
Fool me once, shame on you. As in like, okay, fool me twice, shame on me for going back.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. You only went twice.
I know. I'm just sort of extending the metaphor.
Okay.
There's one particular restaurant that I've been to three times that everybody loves and thinks is like one of the greatest restaurants in New York. And I've never had a good meal there. It's no longer a place where I will frequent.
Yes, I agree. I was listening to Sam Sifton on Wait, Don't Tell Me this weekend. And he was talking about his restaurant critic days. Cause he's on this big book promotional tour about his new book, the No Recipe Cookbook, actually would be fun for us to talk about at some point and get our hands on it. But he was talking about consistency being like, you can talk about food and atmosphere, blah, 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 but consistency is actually the most important thing. So making sure you go back to a restaurant at least three times. So, you know, fool Sam Sifton thrice. Shame on
the restaurant. Exactly.
Okay. What about you?
Oh my God. Okay. So this is that time of year when I start getting really into making Greek salads at home. Oh,
I didn't know that was a yearly and annual thing I should anticipate.
There's ramp season and there's Sophie in my house to make Greek salad at home season. And we've entered it and I'm so happy about it because it's like the weather is turning a little bit warm. It's not quite warm enough yet, but I'm like trying to bring out the Mediterranean vibe.
I'm feeling Greek.
I don't even know what a Greek accent sounds like. Did you guys hear Ari's and my terrible Irish accents last week?
The look of the Irish. I kept saying it all night after the chip hour. Look at the Irish, you know.
So I had that. I made that for lunch on Sunday. I'm having it for dinner tonight. I'm not like a putting protein on a Greek salad person. Maybe if I had some chicken or a soft boiled egg. Mm-hmm. But generally, I'm doing greens, as in like I have some beautiful baby gems, chopping my greens, some small tomatoes, those hothouse ones that I get from Maine that I really love, backyard farms, some cucumber. I actually do not have dill at the moment, so I've been using parsley, but like a lot of super, super finely chopped parsley that I then mix with olive oil and a little bit of like Riesling vinegar at the bottom of the bowl, scallions, and then a big block of feta, toss it all up.
What kind of feta, please?
So I use Valbreso feta, which comes in like a huge rectangular can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very good. I think it is Bulgarian, actually.
Yes.
And it's not super expensive, but it's like each thing has, I think, 8 blocks of feta in it. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like, it's the perfect balance of tangy and salty. My dad's been buying it since I was in high school and I love it. Plus, you know, it comes in a can, doesn't come in plastic. You know, I feel about that. And it's so freaking good. And it just sits in that briny water. You could probably use the brine, actually, the water for something like brining a chicken.
Right. Good idea.
And yeah, so that's what I ate this week. A lot of black pepper. I actually have some dried oregano. Maybe I'll throw that in there tonight.
That sounds very springtimey and delicious. Maybe I will follow your lead this evening.
Yeah. Ooh, I might get some good bread today also and like maybe try to grill it. Ooh, I'm hungry. Okay. So guys, we have a guest today. So excited.
Mm-hmm. We have the one and only Lawrence Longo. He truly is a unique person in that how do we even introduce him? Because he's created kind of a new career for himself that doesn't really exist. He's like a food producer, promoter. He's like someone like us who loves food so much, but does not consider himself a cook. So he's kind of carved out his own career path so that he can help promote and spread awareness and get shed light on certain food businesses that he loves and feels enthusiastic about.
Yeah. I mean, some might say he's like a restaurant cheerleader or a restaurant ally. No, he is trying to help support businesses and people that he loves and bring them to larger groups of people. Wow, I'm doing a really bad job of explaining this. Let's give some examples. So if you guys have heard of Prince Street Pizza, which is a super famous pizza place in New York,
super
Lawrence
delicious.
Brought that to LA.
He's done food festivals. He started Off the Menu. So he creates certain off the menu special dishes in collaboration with certain restaurants and kind of blasts that out. I think through an app, which is super great.
Yeah. This is a good example, I think, of what he does. So there's a pop-up in LA called Burgers Never Say Die. And he went and he loved their burgers. And he was like, hey, man, why don't you turn this into a brick and mortar restaurant? Mm-hmm. And basically like, helped them do that. So it's like, I don't know, a food aid?
Food aid, really, food entrepreneur. He's just awesome. Such a great guy. So fun. Such an appetite for life. We had so much fun talking to him. A lot of laughs in this one. And we're excited to see what he does in the food world next. So also, listen in.
Yeah. What? Sorry, Lawrence, that we like tried to explain what you do when basically we talk about it the entire episode. But we hope you enjoyed our brief intro. Okay.
Yeah. Take it from here, Lawrence.
We are live. We are live with Lawrence Longo. Lawrence, hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
We're so happy you're here.
I'm so happy to be here.
So should we just start with some basics? Like, were you always a food guy? Tell us a little bit about your journey.
No, never in the professional food world until like 6 years ago. But I had eaten 45,000 meals up until then. I come from an Italian family. And I tell people that like, at breakfast, we talk about what's for lunch. At lunch, we talk about what's for dinner. At dinner, we talk about what we're going to order after dinner. You know, my grandfather was into real estate, was into commercial real estate and residential. But he always told me, don't go into the entertainment business and don't get into food. Not a good way to make money. And I totally disobeyed everything he said. And I went into entertainment and then I went into food and then I did both together. And now, you know, I'm here eating a lot of food, making no money. So he was
right. Hey, you live to tell the tale. So that's what matters.
Yeah. But I love food. I honestly just never thought that there was an opportunity to do something fun in food if you weren't a cook. It's kind of like, you know, my love for hockey. I was a hockey player growing up and I never knew you could be a GM of a hockey team until I turned 30.
Right.
And it was way too late. So the food thing kind of crept up on me and it all started with Off the Menu. I created an app as a hobby on a do-it-yourself platform. I curated all these secret menu items across the country. And lo and behold, I had an app and all of a sudden I had press. And then I was like, oh, I got to raise money. And I raised money. Then I lost all the money. Then I was like, I'm not raising any more money until I know what my business is. Then I built my business. And then I'm here today and it's ending up to be pretty awesome. And I'm pretty proud of the business I've built. And you know, I didn't keep raising money like most startups do. I was like, I'm just going to do this myself and, you know, build this on our own backs. And I've seen so many other businesses come and go with a lot more money than I have. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're a scrappy little startup that's doing better than I ever would have thought 3 years ago. So I'm pretty pumped up about it and I'm doing what I love and, you know, maybe not making the money I always wanted to, but that's like when you find something you love, the money will come and it doesn't really matter. So
you've got off the menu, then you are correct me if I'm wrong. You're an investor in Burgers Never Say Die and Prince Street Pizza, or what is your role in both of those?
Yeah,
both of those viral sensations.
I started Off the Menu and as being part of Off the Menu, I was discovering these like cool pop-ups and I just heard about this burger pop-up and I'm obsessed with burgers. And I went to this backyard and this guy was making these burgers in his backyard. And I was like, this is the best burger I've ever had.
Wow.
And I asked them to be a part of an event I was doing. So we did the event together. And I said, I know nothing about financing restaurants, but if you need any sort of money, I'd be happy to invest in what you want to do. And so basically me and one of my best friends put up the money to open up a burger joint. And it was purely out of the love of the burger. And mm-hmm. I thought that Sean was a really good guy who's making these burgers. And we opened up Burgers Never Say Die. And with Prince Street Pizza, I was on National Pizza Day. I wanted to make a statement. So I basically, every time I'd go to New York City, I'd stay with this hockey player friend of mine, Sean Avery, who played for the Rangers at the time. And I was
hot.
He's hot hockey player.
Hot hockey.
So I was like, what's your favorite slice? He'd tell me about this place called Prince Street. And they had just opened. And I would go, there was not really any lines at the time. And I'd go there and it was just it made me so happy. That piece of pizza, that spicy spring made me so happy. And it was a lonely city for me because, I'd go there alone. I'd grab my slice. I'd be walking home alone. And it'd just be the happiest time of my life. So I became friends with Dom, the son of the founder. And a couple of years ago on National Pizza Day, I do these pop-ups and I was like, let's have Prince Street Pizza come to LA on National Pizza Day. And so Dom came and it was insane because, I did everything I could to keep the pizza quality the same. And we had 3-hour lines in the pouring rain on Grammy weekend with Grammy people that were about to win Grammys, not at the Grammys, in our line waiting to have pizza. And it was just wow. So I said, Dom, do you guys want to open up in LA? And he was like, you got to talk to my dad. I was literally on the next flight out to New York and said, come. And I told them what my vision for Prince Street Pizza was. Mm-hmm. And I said, listen, I don't think it should be like Domino's. It's a premium pizza brand. We should have one in every major city. There's a whole, and then I basically gave him the whole vision of what I wanted to do with it. Mm-hmm. And he was like, where are you from? I was like, Italy. And I'm not from Italy, my family is. My grandparents were born in Canada. And he's like, well, what part of Italy? I was like, well, my great-grandparents were born in Calabria. He's like, me too. And it was the deal's done. I was like, no, I'm not qualified. I'm not but I was it was that kind of brotherly connection that made it come to fruition. And I basically, he said, Lawrence, the only thing I want you to do is make sure that everything is the exact same as New York.
Love that.
So I have a water filter. I import the cheese. Every single thing that they do in New York, I do. I just couldn't get rats that shit in the sewer system to shit my water. But
hey, that may be what makes the New York version so good. You never know.
I know. Buy those rats.
I know. That's how I got involved in those two brands. I knew from studying the food industry that what works. Because off the menu, basically, all we do is help support and promote local food establishments. My goal is to be the Live Nation of Food. I'm going to be the biggest food promoter in the world. And we don't review restaurants. We don't tear restaurants down. If a restaurant sucks, I'm not talking about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'll still promote it. You know what I mean? That's really the love we have for the food industry, unlike other publications who just want to tear businesses down. Off the menu's here to promote them.
Right.
But as we did that, I get really into things and I study the food industry and I realized what works, what doesn't work, what's recession proof, what would fail during a recession. And I wasn't even thinking I was thinking there's going to be a stock market crash. I wasn't thinking about a pandemic. And right. knock on wood, these food brands that I have nothing to do with other than promoting, the guys who create, I didn't create the sauce. I didn't create the burger. That's I don't take credit for any of that stuff. Those are the geniuses that did that. I can just take credit for knowing that those were good. But by the way, everyone else knew they were good too. So I'm not a genius for that.
Right.
Just figuring out a way to make it happen. And I realized that as a restaurant, make one thing amazing. If you make one thing amazing, that's the key. And people get these chefs are oh, I do it all. I can do this. And why aren't people coming to my restaurant? They should know who I am and they should just come. It's because I'm confused. I don't know what the hell you do. You have 20 things on your menu. I'm confused. I'm ordering the burger. I want to say that I just figured out what works in the food business. And I've been, I guess, lucky. You're just lucky, is all I can say.
So what does it mean to be a food promoter? Because like a concert promoter, obviously, I get it, right? It's like these acts can travel all over, obviously, right? You're a person. You've got your stage. You got your dancers. You got your whatever. But with food, so does that mean like taking a restaurant and making it a pop-up in other cities? Like, what does it really mean to be a food promoter in your mind?
So in my mind, it's just promoting food, talking about it, spreading. Like the best thing for promotion is word of mouth. And the best way for word of mouth is through social media.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really just like, there's nobody out there that promotes food. And
but when you say like Live Nation, like what's the corollary there?
Okay. So let's look at Live Nation. What do? They promote concerts, right? They put them on. So what do? Is I promote restaurants. So I treat restaurants as if they are rock bands or rock stars or venues. And I'm promoting those venues and those. And when I see a talent, I'm like, hey, let me help you and let's do a concert for yourself. And when I'd like take Avi Q, this amazing Israeli guy who's doing shawarma and a pita and arayas and all this, and I take him, I'm like, yeah, you're like my indie rock band and let's take you on tour. And then let's go get a sponsor. So I call Stella. I'm like, Stella, I got this great guy. He's drawing long lines and fans. Let's back him. Let's create this experience. And let's create this, like I said, like a concert type thing. Right. And like
got
this
it.
Experience. I also do festivals. I do the Burger Showdown, the Wing Fest, the Wing Showdown, and America's Sweetest. And I have all these like food festivals because the first reason I did food festivals is to draw people into my app. So my app off the menu is $20 a month and you get access to one free secret menu item every single day at restaurants in Los Angeles. The idea with the festivals was to draw people to my app. Well, I started going to these food festivals to see what my competition was like. And they're literally like snore fests. Honestly, I'm not going to mention who puts them on, but I'd go to these festivals and I'd be like, my grandparents would be sleeping during this thing. There's no creativity. There's nothing. It's like, here, sample this and sample that. And there's like, I basically was like, let's hone it in. Let's do a burger festival and let's bring celebrities with these local restaurants, team them up together and create this off the menu burger. Now that's something I can get behind, seeing Tommy Lee make a burger, Marshmallow making a burger and like that kind of stuff. And it's like, it's for a younger audience. So I see it all as content. Sometimes I talk about food as content and they're like, what are you talking about? I was like, it's all content. Content is king. It brings me back to my days as like working in the movie industry or the TV industry, where it was like, if the content is good, it will, that's all the marketing you need. You know, and that's kind of like how I see myself as Live Nation of Food. Well, you know, I say that now and that's pretty like, that's a big feat, but that's my goal. That's the vision.
Right.
I'm not there yet, but you know, I will someday. You know, on my way.
I want to just go back really quickly to Prince Street Pizza, just in terms of like bringing the New Yorkness over there. And I'm asking this specifically as someone who is probably about to move to LA from New York. You know, you were saying you walking with the pizza on the way home is the happiest you ever were. How, you know, you can send the cheese, you can send the flour, have the water filter. How do you replicate like the walking around with the pizza part, which I agree is the best part? Like, do people get the Prince Street Pizza in LA and go back to their car and eat it?
Oh my God. I like, so people are lined up around the corner, just like eating pizzas around the street on Sunset Boulevard.
Wow.
And people have never seen a line on Sunset Boulevard unless it was for a concert. Do you remember in the 1950s when people would go to burger stands and they'd all eat in their cars and things like that? And like,
worse.
And it's like that. It's like you go with your family, you open up the trunk of your car and you're eating the pizza in the back of your car. What the difference with New York and LA was, New York people buy slices.
Right.
In LA, people buy whole pies.
Oh,
it's insane. And so it caused even more of a line. And everyone's like, why is the line so big? I was like, because everybody's ordering whole pies.
Yeah.
Obviously there's going to be a little bit like of a difference between New York and LA, but there's not a lot of foot traffic, especially during COVID, where I'm in an area where there's a lot of office buildings and there's nothing, like it's a dead zone right now. So, but people are still coming. Thank God. Knock on wood.
You really have you're saying, right? Like food is content. I feel like you have like the kind of virality of it really down. So what are some of your favorite and least favorite, like, big food trends? Like,
yeah, we can go through some.
Yeah, like the crazy milkshakes at Black Tap, which I'm sure you've seen.
Yeah, which are over the top. And listen, some people make food for Instagram. Some people make food to eat and to enjoy. I find that the over the top stuff, like, who wants a burger that you can't put in your mouth? Like, right. Is that really enjoyable? It's not. And so in terms of, like, food trends, it is the best trends are the ones that taste the best.
Yeah.
And the trends that are just for Instagram, I stay away of, especially from, like, putting my money into. Mm-hmm. I stay away from. At the core of it, like, if you look and see what I get involved in, it's pizza, it's burgers.
Right.
I'll get involved in hot dogs. You know what I mean? It's like, really, like, I don't believe in trends. I believe in things that are evergreen.
Yeah. So, but wouldn't you say that Prince Street Pizza is very trendy? I mean, there's no chance in hell I would stand in that line. I've never been, because the line's too fucking really long. Good.
Well, you know me, so you won't ever have to stand in line again.
Okay.
So. Also, to try it. Hate lines. Sophie, like, is the opposite of most humans, like, see a line and are intrigued. You see a line and you're like, no.
Yeah, I'm like, run the
hard
other way.
No.
So I see a line and I'm like, I gotta buy that business.
Right. Yeah. That's the smartest thing to do. Yeah.
Because I don't wait lines either.
See?
So
it is very good.
Yeah, in terms of, like, food trends, I just feel like the best trend is something that tastes good. And I don't think Prince Street Pizza is a trend. I think that there's been a line for 4 years. It's good food.
So I wanted to know, obviously, you eat out a lot. You had a year where you ate a burger every single good day. Guys, that's 365 burgers if you couldn't do the math. Do you cook at home for yourself?
So up until when I got married, I had never, and the thing that I would, like, you know, if I was on a podcast or anything, I'd be like, I've never made one meal ever in my life.
Right.
Because I grew up in an Italian family. I have three sisters, a mother, and two grandmothers at the time. I didn't have to, I said, like, food, and they would, like, what do you want, Lawrence?
Yeah.
And it would come
okay,
down.
That's some very Italian prince shit.
Yeah. No, it is.
Yeah.
Trust me. Yeah. So now me and my wife cook together. It's always just, like, healthy things we're making at home, but yeah, we're always, like, cooking fish. We're, like, you know, making chicken. We're doing all kinds of different meals at home. So yeah, I'm not a good cook. We're pretty, like, right down the middle with, like, veggies and fishes and chickens, and it's all done in the skillet, you know, nothing too fancy or anything like that. But I make amazing sandwiches.
Oh, right. What's your kinda, like, killer sandwich combo?
But by the way, it's all because of, I just know how to buy good ingredients.
Of course.
Where do you go? What's that Italian market?
Bay Cities. Unbelievable. Little hack for your listeners. Don't wait in the line. Just go to the hot table, get a meatball sandwich. They're incredible.
So, okay. So you love to make a sandwich. Do you guys like host at home? Do you have people over? If you do, what would you guys cook? Would you order in? Like, what's your style?
If we're ordering food, we're usually ordering like sushi.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some great sushi, delivers really well. Rotisserie Kismet. We order rotisserie chicken.
Yeah. My friend is one of the owners, Sarah Edmondson. Yeah.
Oh, they're great. Sarah and Sarah Wood. They're amazing. So talented. Those two. So
amazing.
Good. Yeah. And we order from Craig's. That's one thing where she, like, my wife is so strict on her diet. You know, what's funny, when I was on my burger quest and I tell everybody this is, like, you guys have a doormat at your front door, right? I have a scale. So I have to get on the scale before I walk into the house. And if it's over 200 pounds, she's like, go for a lap, fatty.
Okay.
And,
so, we have to tell our listeners, Lawrence's wife is a fucking ripped hot Barry's Bootcamp fitness instructor.
Yeah.
So, okay. So got it. Right. So you're heading home. She's like, walk on the fucking block.
Yeah. Run.
Walk until the scale goes down.
So she's not enjoying a burger with you, it sounds like.
My wife has never once eaten a burger in her life.
Shit.
And I confirmed that with her father and her mother. They said they've never seen her eat a burger. She used to order hot dogs if they got crazy.
Wow.
Okay, all right. At least she's had a hot dog. She's had one of the two.
Yeah. I caught her. So my daughter is 2.5 years old, and her favorite word is pizza, 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 pizza. Whenever I, like, come home, she's like, pizza. I was like, not tonight. And I brought, but so Saturdays I'll bring her home pizza. And I caught my wife eating the pizza the other day. I was like, it's so good. I can't help it.
Wow.
Small victories. Yeah, Lauren. That's great.
Exactly.
So how do you square that though? Because like my husband and I both love to eat so much. To me, that's like, you know, this is the Venn diagram. Like the overlap is how much we love to eat. It's very hard for me to imagine dating someone who doesn't love food as much as I do. So like, how do you square those two things?
Well, if I married somebody who loves food as much as me, I would probably be dead.
It was a preventative measure.
And it was like, she loves food. She just eats healthy food. And,
right.
You know, it's they say like opposites subtract or attract. And it's kind of true because the one thing we do love is we both love working out. The way we met was in her fitness class. Listen, I'm 2 inches shorter than her. She probably never thought she was going to marry a short, chubby dude that loves like pizzas and burgers.
I've seen photos of you. You're also fucking ripped.
I go up and down.
Okay.
So I'm not ripped anymore. If you like, is this video?
Guys, oh my God, we just got a shot of his stomach.
Yeah. I'm not that ripped right now, but I promised her after the burger thing, I would like not eat a burger a day and I'd get healthy. So, you know, it's important to be, you know, somebody said to me once, it's like, how many people that are overweight that you know that are over 50? And I was like,
oh God,
I'm thinking myself is, oh my God. All right. You know, it's all about moderation, but it's all about being happy. And, you know, there's food makes me happy as long as, you know, I don't abuse it.
Right.
And I keep in shape and, you know, not every meal has got to be pizza, burgers or hot dogs, you know,
of course.
So it's a healthy balance.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Let's talk a little bit about burgers because Ari and I also really, really, really love burgers. I would say,
I ask you guys a question?
Please.
Yeah. What are your top like 3 burgers in New York?
Hillstones is one of my favorites. South Beverly Grill is Hillstones here.
Amazing.
God, that's a good burger.
Even better chicken sandwich, but the burger is fabulous.
Great salads there too.
Oh, that peanut dressing or whatever it is.
Thank
on that.
Thank you. Peanut. Oh my God. Okay, so Hillstone's one of mine. Are you?
There's this place which is now closed. I'm praying that it opens up post-COVID, called Bernie's in like Greenpoint, Williamsburg area, that was owned by the guys who opened Frankel's. Have you heard about Frankel's? It's like this Jewish deli in Greenpoint. Like they did really well. They're doing really well. They opened a restaurant. It's super simple. You'd love it. It's like all the restaurants we all went to as kids in like the late 80s, early 90s, like really dark in there, like kind of, you know, an old Budweiser sign, but like, you know, crayons and paper tablecloth, but not kitschy. It's like somehow it feels authentic. They've got TVs playing, small booths, only booths. And it's like, they have a burger. They have a giant Caesar salad in one of those like kind of crappy, like maybe wooden-ish bowls. Like
the they look wooden, ones. But they're like maybe, plastic. Yeah.
Yeah. They've got like a shrimp cocktail. Anyway, their burger is fantastic. I think it's a double thin patty. Just delicious. Shredded iceberg. Amazing.
So Ari saying thin patty is a very good segue. And so Ari's a thin patty. I'm a thick patty. I'm like, if you didn't ask me how I want my burger cooked, I don't want your burger. I wouldn't say I don't want your burger. I'll eat it, but I'll be grimacing. Are you like a thin patty, a thick patty, both?
I'm into a good burger. And there's a couple things that like need to happen in order for me to like a good burger. And it all starts with the bun. The bun, I'm notoriously known for not liking brioche buns because unless you absolutely have a fresh brioche, when it's fresh, it's amazing. It's like a donut, you know, but when it's not, The minute it becomes that little stale, it's done. You ruin your burger. I'm into thick burgers and I'm into thin burgers. The Burgers Never Say Die was really like the ones that like started the thin trend burger of like, Smash Burgers have been around forever, but nobody was making Smash Burgers until Burgers Never Say Die, like made it cool. Mm-hmm. So obviously now everybody's making Smash Burgers, which you probably hate. But no, I love like, you know who has a great burger is Ruth Chris. And one of my other sayings is that steak houses, like any steak restaurant, should have the best burger. If they don't, I question their steak because they're using the trimmings of the best meat.
Right.
And they're grinding it in house. That's another thing.
Peter Luger's is famous for their burger as well. So
it's where I closed the deal for Prince Street Pizza was eating the Peter Luger burger. That was an amazing burger. New York's got some unbelievable burgers. The same happiness I got from going to Prince Street, I'd get from going to J.G. Mellon.
Classic. Those cottage fries.
Exactly. There's something about eating that burger with those cottage fries. Yes. And
a tiny little plate.
And I'm a proponent of you don't need anything on your burger. If you have a great burger, bun, meat, cheese, and the juices from that burger are incredible. And you don't need anything else.
I'm like, you don't need avocado. You don't need a fried egg. You don't need bacon.
No.
Maybe a little.
Bacon I could live with if it has the right crunch. It's like there's a layer that I can live with bacon. So, but I agree with everything else you said.
Where do you fall on an English muffin as a bun?
Oh, interesting. There's a place called the Bowery in LA that does it. They do a fabulous job. They got good meat. I'm not opposed to it. I like that somebody wants to be a little bit different. Once again, it's got to be a fresh English muffin.
Yeah.
Because English muffin could get stale. They last longer for some reason, but I'll do it. I'm not going to like, or if you had a choice between brioche, English muffin, and a regular
bun.
Wonder Bread bun, I'm taking the Wonder Bread bun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then the Martin's rolls. Let's talk about the Martin's buns because those are awesome, but it's a cheat code. Anyone who uses a Martin's roll, in my opinion, you're just cheating. They got sugar in that bun. It's like, you know what I mean? I think it's like you're not letting the burger speak for itself. You're like letting the sugar from the bun. And by the way, I think the bun's amazing. I love it so much that I think it's a cheat.
You mean when restaurants use it, it's a cheat?
Yeah. Like ever, that's the biggest for the last 2-3 years, everybody's using Martin potato bowl.
But I feel like if you're doing it at home, you've got to get Martin's because so many people will just buy like some other either crap at the grocery store that's not Martin's because they're like, oh, Martin's must be bad because it's on the lowest shelf. Like, I'll get this mid-level other brand bun that tastes like shit.
Or they get a brioche, which is a disaster.
It can be a disaster, absolutely. Listen, I'm not going to like, you know, some of my friends make burgers with brioche buns and they know how I feel about it. You're walking that line. It can make the experience incredible. Like, it's like a donut, but it ruins the experience as well.
As we all agree on. How do you feel about the apple pan burger?
Okay, here's my thing about apple pan. Apple pan is the best place to eat a burger.
Yes.
It's not the best burger. Like anyone who tells you it's the best burger, you know, your nostalgia is talking.
Yeah.
Because it is the best place to eat a burger. You know what they have the best of?
A tuna sandwich.
Tuna melt. The tuna melt is off the menu and it's incredible. If you're going to go to Apple Pan, have the tuna melt. The burger is like, it's the same. And I know people are going to hate, it's like In-N-Out. It's the greatest burger for the price, no doubt. They got the best secret menu item, which really makes me excited. But the burger, come on. It's not better than Five Guys. It's not better than Shake Shack.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think Wendy's is better.
Wow. I like that you heard it here. Wendy's. Beats In and Out for all of our friends who are like, I have to go out to LA to try In and Out, which you don't, right? It's fine. But you know what? Their aesthetic is very cute and that sells a lot of it. What is the secret menu item that you were just referring to?
Oh my God, they have 100.
They have like the animal style, all of that shit. But what's your favorite?
Okay, so I actually kind of enjoy eating the protein style burger there, which is just the buns, take out the buns and put the lettuce in there. I also like a black and white milkshake. I also enjoy going there and just literally making it a double cheeseburger with just like ketchup and mustard. And that's it. And just having it very simple. So.
Hot damn, I want a burger now.
Oh, you know what they have? That's awesome. I used to really like this, like back in my day, was the Flying Dutchman. So the Flying Dutchman at In-N-Out is basically cheese, burger, cheese burger. And the story goes is that in the late 70s, people were bringing their dogs to In-N-Out and they wanted to have something for the dogs. So they made what was called the Flying Dutchman. And that's what I just described. And now bodybuilders go there and eat the Flying Dutchman.
I was about to be like, and all the dogs died from too much protein.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Well, that's what I'm going to get. What are you loving right now? And or like, where do you think things are moving? Just kind of in your industry, what are you excited about?
Well, in terms of burgers or just terms of like, I'm excited to like outdoor dining's back. I'm excited that, you know, people are going to go eat at restaurants again. I'm excited for all these people who are out of jobs and they're going to be able to, you know, make money again and make food. And like I was saying, I think like the hardest thing for these people in this industry was not that they weren't making money, because their unemployment was even better. Yeah. It was the fact that they weren't doing what they love to do. Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest. So what I really love is that the thing that was taken away from these people that, you know, they love doing is going to be given back to them. So I think that's exciting.
But you did mention like, who had a good chicken sandwich?
Houston's, well, or Hillstone's.
Hillstone's. Like, is there something you're like, oh, I want to bring this here. I want to promote this place that does this incredible arancini or whatever it is.
Yeah. So the first place I lost money in the food business was I wanted to open up a Canadian bar and restaurant. And
what the fuck is a Canadian bar? Poutine?
Poutine. It's we have Alberta beef, we have Ontario blueberries, we have BC salmon, ooh, we have PEI oysters. The one of the best restaurants in North America is a place called Joe Beef.
Oh, I've been wanting to go there for so long, but you know, neither of them drink anymore and they're both vegetarian now.
Yeah. Cause they enjoyed life a little too much.
You've never seen anyone fat over 50. Oh my God.
Exactly. So, well, here's the thing is this was my selling point and I couldn't even get the investors to invest in it. But there's a million Canadians that live in LA, 1 million. Okay. And tons of celebrities, and there's great Canadian food, there's Canadian whiskey, there's Canadian beer, there's so many amazing things about Canada. Well, let's put them all under one roof, and I'm going to do it one day. I just didn't, this was before I was in the food business,
right?
Like I said, I thought I was going to make money in the food business. I lost all my money in the food business, my first like foray into it, but I still believe that there's something really, really, like, you know, cool about that. So yeah, I would like to do a Canadian bar and restaurant one day. And like, I was talking to the guys from Joe Beef. They wanted a lot of money at the time for their menu, which, by the way, when I think about it now, it's like, I think that, you know, I would have done it. I will do it. So
yeah.
Are you from Canada originally?
Yeah, I'm from Toronto originally. Did you catch some outs and the boats?
That's right. Crazy.
You're such an Angeleno now.
Yeah. So before my burger tour, I did this meatball, and on Instagram, I can't get my user handle back because I forgot my email that I set it up with. It's called Major Meatball. And I every weekend I'd go around trying meatball sandwiches. As a kid, me and my father and my grandfather would go on the weekends to this place called California Sandwiches. And California Sandwiches, I'll tell you the story about behind that in a minute. But they made these premium veal sandwiches and these chicken parm sandwiches and these meatball sandwiches. These are the best things you've ever put in your mouth. And they basically, funny enough, my sister married one of the kids from the family that started that. So I wanted to bring that to LA. And, you know, I still like couldn't really like I never really pulled the trigger on it. Everyone was like, you can't have veal in your meatballs. you can't have a veal sandwich. And I was like, nah.
Because it's not ethical?
Because LA people like healthy food and it's not ethical. The veal's a baby cow or baby calf. So it's, you know, I didn't really ever pull the trigger on it, mm-hmm. but there's not very many good premium Italian sandwiches in LA. Apparently back in like the 30s or 40s, the Italians that came to California were all doing bad things and they got put in the jail and sent back to New York.
Hey,
there's not a
welcome.
So there's not a really great Italian food scene in LA. Like, there's not a lot of good red sauce restaurants. I love Dantana's, and their chicken parm is awesome. But if you really break it down, they've got three things on their menu that are good, and then everything else about that place is the hospitality and the celebrity sightings.
My friends and I have a joke about Dantana's that basically everything is actually just a side of ketchup. Like the marinara sauce is actually just ketchup. The shrimp cocktail sauce is actually just ketchup. But the ambiance, you can't beat that ambiance. It really is killer. It's amazing. So classic.
Yeah.
LA's got a lot of that.
And look, John and Vinny's are doing some pretty amazing things out here. So, you know, they're not really a red sauce focused restaurant. They're like so much more talented than just a red sauce restaurant. So, but one of the things I will do while I'm here is bring like a real Italian, like red sauce experience here. Eventually, and a Canadian bar.
That's right.
I love that Canadian bar idea. I want to spend more time in Canada. Well, this was so much fun.
Yeah.
So great to meet you. Oh, wait, we have one last question.
We have one last quick question. We try and ask everyone, unless we forget, which we often do. This is very important stuff. If you were stuck on a desert island and you could only have one type of chip, what would it be?
Oh, chip.
Yeah, like what bag of chips would you bring?
Ruffles, sour cream, and onion.
Nice. Solid.
Yeah, why not? Who else? If I'm on that island by myself, who cares about my breath?
What a joy. I still have never had Prince Street pizza.
Well, you could walk right down there. You could literally walk right down there in 20 minutes.
I could literally walk there, you guys.
You could skateboard there. You could ride an electric scooter there.
Is that very Gen Z? Are skateboards and electric scooters Gen Z?
I think electric scooters are.
Hmm.
Well, gotta get one.
I'm trying to be Gen Z.
Considering it. She considers the electric scooter. You would certainly fall and break an ankle.
Oh, I'd break an ankle. I'd break my face. It'd be a total disaster. I shan't do it.
No, the pizza is very good, but not worth a broken bone.
Fair. What a fantastic episode. Thank you so much, Lawrence, for coming on.
What a fun person to show us around LA. I feel like the guests this past season from LA in particular have been just so fun loving and cool. Like, if we could get them all in a room at some point when we go out there. What a party.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, kind of next season, maybe we have to get some more New York people. This has been a very LA heavy season, which is funny for us.
It is.
Yeah.
We really want that sunshine.
Yeah, that could be it. Anyway, we love you guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Lawrence, for making time.
We will be back next week with part two of our spring cleaning series.
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad you said that. I am going to spend the next week going through, you know what I want to go through? My kitchen utensils. I want to talk about utensils. I want to talk about like how much of stuff you need. What have you gotten rid of? Oh, I want to talk about when you moved out of your apartment. Like if you got rid of stuff from your kitchen.
I'd love to talk about that. We got to go. I'm allergic to the podcast.
Oh my God. Okay. Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Thank you, Colin. Ciao.
Bye.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.